Another busy week this week, even though a lot of time was spent on the floor, there's a couple of measures. One of those involves project labor agreements.
Yes, and that's a significant item, especially for a district like mine. My district is largely rural, so when you end up with public projects like schools, libraries, hospitals, finances are usually pretty tight. You don't have a huge population base and a huge tax base, and it's not always easy to get things done or bonds passed. And as a result, you're always looking for ways that we could do things more efficiently and at less cost. And project labor agreements have worked against us in that arena. It basically creates a monopoly situation where anyone who is not affiliated with a union may not be allowed to even bid on the project. So the language that we passed this week would say that you cannot be excluded from those contracts, from those projects, simply because you are not associated with a labor union. That's especially helpful in those public projects, and that's all that bill applies to, is the public arena. We're talking about tax dollars. We're talking about the kinds of facilities that the entire public, the neighborhood, they use. So I think that was a major step forward for Missouri. I think in the budgetary times that we are now, and people's budgets are tight, and community budgets are tight, and this could help us get a lot more out of every tax dollar. So I was pleased that we saw that passed and was third read today. We'll be sent over to the House now, and we'll see whether the House can continue to move it along.
I think if I remember correctly, this is a follow-up to, as so many bills have been so far this year, and even last year, a follow-up to that court decision that unraveled a lot of the tort reform that was done 12 years ago now.
Many of the bills we've done this week and in the months of this year's session have been exactly that. We addressed some other issues. We had an arbitration reform bill that came from that court opinion. We've heard bills in my committee that have come from that court opinion, heard several bills last week, and actually exec those out of committee this week and turned them in. Those are all responses to that judicial opinion that essentially undid some major work that was done in 2005. Senator Delbert Scott was actually the main carrier of that legislation, and it was not easy to work it through because they're in a realm there where attorneys have a lot to lose. If they see some of the huge judgments that they're able to achieve set aside, they have major losses. It's always a fight there with the Trial Attorney Association, and so far that we've been able to do a number of things this year that address the issues the court raised, and even though I disagreed with that court opinion, we're addressing them legislatively, so we should be able to see some significant impact on Missouri's economy as we continue to move those bills.
For you, another one of your bills regarding utility regulations was heard in committee.
It was. Actually, we heard one bill last week on the regulation of water utilities. We heard a bill this week in commerce, regulation of natural gas utilities. We'd already heard and actually passed out of committee regulation reforms on electricity. Passed that out this week. This is largely because of the significant change in the business model that you see in utilities. For decades, every utility was growing fast. Electricity in particular, but you also saw growth in others as population grew, as people's prosperity improved, and they would build bigger homes or businesses would grow, and so the use of all public utilities went up. Electricity demand was always growing, water demand, natural gas demand. Obviously, you have little dips occasionally because of either shortages or some kind of price impact, but it was a growth industry. Today, it's not really a growth industry anymore because we've got a new focus today on conservation. We're trying to conserve electricity. We're trying to conserve natural gas. We're trying to conserve water. We have counties in Missouri and states across the nation that have serious water problems. And so there's a real attention on that. Plus, you have, in the case of a water utility, heavy reliance on weather. If it's a wet year, then water sales go down significantly. If it's a dry year, they go up significantly. So if they go down significantly, the company has a real struggle just trying to maintain cash flow. If they go up significantly, the customer has a real issue trying to maintain cash flow. The legislation that we worked on for water is called Revenue Stabilization Mechanism. It's a different way of regulating water to help accommodate both of those problems for the customer and for the company. The natural gas regulatory reform that we just heard in committee this week is a similar address that acknowledges that, once again, a heavy part of the natural gas costs are building infrastructure. I don't know how many people realize that the natural gas companies make no money on the natural gas that they sell. Those are pass-through items that are billed exactly at what it costs them. They buy the natural gas. They sell it to me or to you at the same price for which they bought it. They only make money on the service that they provide in delivering it to the homes and the businesses. And so when you get into that realm and the way the pressures have changed in terms of business, the business model, our old regulatory structure, which is over 100 years old, simply is not accommodating what needs to be done in terms of rebuilding some of that infrastructure, maintaining the safety that we want, especially in that natural gas realm. None of us wants a natural gas pipeline exploding in our neighborhood or in our state. And so there are things that have to be done there, and current regulatory environment makes it very difficult for those issues to be prioritized the way I think they should be. And so we're trying to develop a regulatory environment that encourages companies to do the right thing in terms of supplying those, the reliability of the services, the conservation issues that we'd like to see them exercising and encouraging in their customer base. Those bills are all going to be on the calendar soon, I hope. Some of them went on the calendar today. The one that we heard this week won't go on until at least next week. But those are bills that I'm hoping we can move forward. And if there are changes that need to be made, we can address those.
Another issue for you, I believe it's Senate Bill 141 that addresses retirement plans, I believe, for elected officials.
Right. It occurred to me some years ago that you have defined benefit and defined contribution retirement systems. Most people understand the difference in that. And in a term-limited world, most of the elected officials in Missouri are term-limited. In that term-limited world, we are moving a lot of legislators in and out of the legislature. When that happens, we end up with more and more legislators on retirement with a defined benefit plan. That means that every one of those takes a plan with them. We're also seeing a lot of young people coming into the legislature. And those young people, they're not going to walk away with much when they leave this. And there are two things that I would like to accomplish by moving the elected officials from a defined benefit to defined contribution. And that one is the transportability of those retirement benefits. One of the differences is if you're in the legislature now, if you don't serve, you have to serve 6 years to be vested. If you serve for 2 years or for 4 years or for 5 years, and then for some reason do not serve beyond that, whether it's an election, whether it's your own election that you just elect not to run or whatever it is, you have no retirement benefit from those years. But if we move to a defined contribution, you would. You would walk away with the contributions that you made and the contributions that the state made to that retirement. So it's a win there for anyone who comes in and doesn't serve the time period that would be prescribed by a defined benefit plan. The other side of that is the state saves money. In a defined benefit plan, the state actually sees some savings in their retirement because they're not continuing to pay retirement year after year. You or I would walk away with whatever contributions we made and the contributions the state made. We could reinvest those according to what we wanted to do. We wouldn't be reliant upon the state or upon some account manager that the state chose. And so I think, especially in a term-limited environment, moving elected officials to that defined contribution just makes sense. It just doesn't really make sense, in my thinking, to have a defined benefit plan in that environment.